Good to see everybody this morning. Welcome again to Mount Olivet. I'm glad that you are here. And man, what a wonderful time we've had of worship with the children this morning and our praise team and Laura coming and singing. And we've heard blessings about what God is doing, what God will do, and in ways that, we don't know. And, God surprises us. He surprised the world by sending his son, Jesus Christ, into the world, the Messiah. And as we celebrate this morning, we have a couple other celebrations we need to just lift up to you. Maybe you saw it, but Rebecca Boyce's birthday is today. Let's sing happy birthday to Rebecca. Sorry, Tommy, she deserves it. She sings for us all the time. Let's sing. 16. All right, Dad, better get the car ready. And then also, we want to celebrate Ronnie and Carol's anniversary today. Is that correct? Sometimes we don't get it right. Yeah, and then also Gary and Carol Seltzer's anniversaries today. Yes. Yeah, bless you. God bless you this morning. All right. The other part of worship is to come and hear the Word of God. And so I want to read to you from Isaiah, the 35th chapter, verses 1 through 10. By the way, the community choir sings again tonight in Wanchese. So if you didn't get there last night, which I didn't, I'll try to get there tonight. There's a lot happening, but that's good because you don't ever know. All of these things you go to, you don't know where Jesus is going to touch your life. You don't know where the Holy Spirit is. It's just going to grab a hold of you and move you from where you are to maybe where you don't like to be to somewhere where God wants you to be. And that's always the key, isn't it? We want to be where we want to be, not where God wants us to be. And sometimes we'll do all that we can to hold on to where we want to be. But the only problem with that is you won't have that life, hope, and joy that Laura was singing about in her song this morning. And she's, and so let's hear the word of God this morning from Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Doesn't that just lift you up out of your seat? Man, this is positive stuff, good stuff. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, and he will come and save you. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? He came to save you and me. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become like a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. What highway are you on this morning? It's there. What highway are you on? The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks this road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. With everlasting joy on their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Let us pray. God, we are glad to be in your house this morning as we worship on this third Sunday of Advent of the Christmas season. God, we gather as families and as individuals in the community of faith. And Lord, maybe there are some here this morning whose eyes are blinded, whose hearts are just not where they need to be. God, we know that you make the path straight, and we trust you to do that in our lives, not only today, but as we leave this place and bring this glorious news to all who will hear. Bless now the preacher and all those who would bring the good news of the gospel this day, in whatever form that may be. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Years ago, I learned a song, and it was probably during the early days of my Christian walk, but it goes something like this. I'm not going to sing it, but I'll say it. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. That's the chorus. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. And then I remember a song from that famous TV show that was on TV called Hee Haw. And one of the skits in Hee Haw was a couple of famous country singers there who were just beginning to mushroom, and they would sing this song. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Now, many of you remember that. Some of our younger folks probably do not. And I share that with you by saying, this Isaiah passage speaks to the latter, where both of these songs speak to what was going on in this Isaiah passage. The land, the people had been in desperate times. They'd been destitute. And they needed a word of hope. They needed a word of encouragement. They needed a word of joy. They thought, again, as we've been going through this time, they thought God had abandoned them. And sometimes people feel that way, and maybe you feel that way this morning. There was, you know, they were destitute. They absolutely were wondering, where do we go from here? What do I do now? How will things change? How can I get out of this mess? What's going to happen? What will happen? The scriptures give us images of the wilderness. You know about the wilderness. The wilderness is that place that's an isolated place. You can get lost in the wilderness. You can die in the wilderness. You can get very ill and become very disoriented in the wilderness. It's not a good place to be. Fear can set in when you're in the wilderness. And fear is a difficult and sometimes terrible thing to overcome. The land was a wasteland, the scriptures tell us. And I'm reminded of, for our younger folks, I think many of you remember this. You remember the story of the Lion King? Those of you remember the Lion King? You remember in that story, there was a battle going on between who would be king, between Mufasa and Scar, Simba's uncle. Simba, of course, being the young lion that was the heir to the king of the land. And through some manipulation, Mufasa, Simba's father, who was the king of the wilderness, of the jungle there, and everything was green and plush because he was a good and righteous and good ruler, and he didn't think about himself. And so through some circumstances, he was, he was killed. And Scar, knowing that Simba was going to be the next ruler, blamed Simba for it, said, "You caused this to happen to your father." And so he ran away, this next king of the jungle, of that kingdom. And so Scar takes over, Scar being the bad king, the bad ruler. And some of you know the story. And so what happened was, because Scar only thought about himself and his cronies, the kingdom went to pot. The land went barren. There was no food for any of the animals. And things got desperate. And everybody thought that Simba maybe had died, he had run off. And through some other circumstances, Simba was found and he was talked into coming back and saving the kingdom because he was the legitimate king. And so, as the story goes on, he does. He takes on that responsibility, almost like, you know, a Joseph in the Old Testament, or David, who by the way, that story was based on some of those biblical stories, who came in and took the kingdom from where they were to where they needed to be in a time of difficulty and despair. New life. New hope, new joy was brought back into that situation. That's where the children of Israel were. The people had feeble hearts and feeble souls. They just didn't know, they felt powerless to do anything at all. But it's in that moment in time that God appears and God comes. And so this passage of Scripture talks about that and talks about the future, the coming of the Messiah, who will come and bring that hope and joy and faith to a kingdom that everybody thought was lost, to a people who needed to hear good news, to people who needed to hear, who needed to be motivated and strengthened, because they found themselves not only in a natural wilderness, but they also found themselves in a personal wilderness. And, you know, many people today, and many nations today, still find themselves in those kinds of scenarios. We read about crisis across our nation. We read about individual crisis in individuals' lives. We wonder about what's going to happen in the nation that we live in. We see this happening and that happening. And sometimes many people live their lives in fear from one day to the next. But God has provided a highway, the scripture says here, a highway of holiness for you and for me when he sent his son, Jesus, into the world. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, where do we find ourselves? How do we see ourselves on this road in our faith journey? You know, I remember, and maybe you've said this saying, you know, well, they're burning up the road. What do we mean by that? We mean that people are on the road going here and there all the time. You know, we live in a nation where you can get anywhere. Our highway system is probably the best in the world. You can get on that road and go anywhere you want to go to most places. There's a way for you to do it. And, you know, if your car won't go on a highway, you can get a four-wheeler and go off the road if you want. But there's always seems to be a path or a dirt road that can get you to where you want to be in most places. But the question you have to ask yourself is, that's where you want to go. That's where you want to be. When you get there, will you find what you're looking for? You know, as you travel over these holidays, you're going to be hitting the road, many of you. Going to visit, you'll have expectations. You'll be looking for surprises. You'll be thinking about things. And guess what? Along the way, it might not go the way that you want it to go. Same way with life. You know, as we travel this highway, as we travel our faith journey, sometimes things don't happen the way that we want them to happen. We're on this road, and we think that we know what's going to give us fulfillment. But we never know what's going to be waiting out there, do we? We have no clue of what's going to be out there waiting for us. We have no clue as to what's going to challenge us, what's going to cause us to be disappointed. We have no clue as to what kinds of things are going to cause us to have weak needs and a feeble heart and a feeble soul. We don't know. We have no idea. Sometimes we break down. Sometimes we get a flat tire. Sometimes our vehicle is just stopped. Sometimes the whole front end will fall out from underneath it. And there's cars going, don't have it happen to me. Sometimes somebody is going to ram into you. So we don't know. We absolutely do not know. And as we go through life, those same kinds of things happen. We find ourselves like the people of Israel did long ago. Their church was gone. Their family was gone. Their kingdom was gone. Nothing seemed to be going right. Nothing seemed to be happening the way that they wanted it to happen. And so into that kind of sorrow and pain and difficulty, the prophet Isaiah speaks. And he brings a word, a message of hope. God is in control. God is in charge. In that wilderness, water will spring forth. In that wilderness, the flowers will blossom again. In that wilderness, you will not need to fear. God will get rid of those things that are not supposed to be there, that are hindering what you feel or what you're thinking, or how isolated you might feel, whatever place you find yourself in. You know, for many, it can be the loss of a husband, or wife, or child. You know, the desert is a place of barrenness. Many of you have been there, some of those places. Things are just like, duh. You don't sense any kind of life whatsoever. For some of us, some of you, maybe your marriage, maybe the marriage, the love between you and your spouse, it's not what it needs to be. And you feel yourself in the desert of life. For others, it can be a disease. It can be an illness. And you find yourself in the desert. Into that kind of scenario, into that kind of environment, Jesus sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And He has provided this highway for you and for me. And He wants you and me to burn up the road to get to Him, to seek Him. He wants you and me to pursue Him. And along the way, when we find ourselves facing difficult circumstances, along the way, when we feel like we can't go on, the blossom will bloom. Refreshing water of His Spirit will come over us. Spiritual vitality and energy will consume us. There is life even in the midst of the desert. That highway is there for you, for anybody who wants to travel on it. And you and I have the responsibility of telling others about it, of living on that road in such a way that others might see Christ in you and me. Not only that, we have the responsibility of evaluating where we are in life and where the life of our church is in our community of faith. And we have the responsibility of trying to say and prepare and get ready for the flowers to bloom in our hearts and in our souls, and in the lives of others. And we have to travel that road with confidence and hope. We have to travel that road knowing our destiny. That's not many of us to just take off on the road not knowing where we're going. And we have all kinds of tools now to show us the way, do we not? And sometimes that still doesn't help. And that's the way life is. We think we have all the tools sometimes. But something's always there to hinder us, doesn't it? What kind of desert are you in this morning? What kind of life-giving power do you need today? What do you need to make your life seem fulfilled, to bring back that joy of a relationship? Or to bring back the joy of a difficult circumstances, a death in the family? What do you need to bring those, where those waters, where do they need to touch your heart and soul? Where does there need to be blossoming in your life? The Messiah has come. Jesus has come to fulfill your life in my life. No matter what direction or where we find ourselves. Can you use that refreshment? Can you use that refresh? Can you use that restoration? Can you use that renewal today? Let's pray. God, we know that we're on the highway of life, and that life that we are on is finite at best here in this world, the physical world that we live in. The environment in which we are born into is an environment that is filled with sin, and so many times can be discouraged, can be distorted, and we can find ourselves in many desolate and unforgiving places. But it's in the midst of that, in all of humanity, in all of life, that you reached out to us. Lord, you burned the road to come to us. And now you call us to burn the road to get to come to you. Lord, I know there's some barrenness out there. There's some folks experiencing, there are people experiencing life not the way they thought it would be when they started out. Well, God, reach down and refresh the souls of your people today. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.